When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, first up, first question via email from David from Louisville, Kentucky. Hello Dark Trio, have any of you had paranormal experience? If not, if you were to have an experience, what type of experience would you prefer? A cryptid, ghost, or alien encounter? And what movie do you think has prepared you for that encounter? Thank you for providing all the horror news and entertainment and keep being amazing. Well, thank you so much, David. I am sorry that I stuttered so badly through that reading. It's Monday for me. I apologize. I'm not sure that I've ever had a paranormal experience. Sober.
Not for lack of trying.
Yeah, not for lack of trying. Like, I've got haunted stuff in my house, supposedly. So
yeah.
I think I've kind of, our household has had a lot of bad luck for the last month. Kind of like we've had multiple rounds of sickness and some other things kind of go pear-shaped that we were hoping wouldn't. And so I'm kind of worried that I brought a curse back with me from New Orleans.
Oh no.
Like maybe we did a tour or something and it was like, oh, you shouldn't disrespect whatever. And maybe I laughed at something. I don't know. But honestly, like the last month has not been the best month for us.
Uh-oh.
So maybe.
What did you laugh at?
Me? I don't know. I mean, it's New Orleans. Like, we've done a lot of ghost tours and vampire tours and stuff. I don't know that I did. And if I did, it probably was me being a little bit inebriated. So it wasn't intentional. It's not like I laughed at Robert the Doll or something. Like, I didn't.
This is how horror movies start, John.
It is.
I know. But so that makes you understand how much more frustrating it is to be inside a horror movie. Like, I'm supposed to remember one specific thing that suddenly brought a curse with me? Like, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't keep track of that sort of thing. That's ridiculous.
What do you do? You can't move because they'll follow you.
Exactly. So I'm not prepared. None of the movies I've seen have prepared me for this. This is generally just kind of stuff that sucks.
So are you saying you would rather a ghost or?
Definitely not a cryptid. I think we've been having some mice issues here, which is part of the problem. So I don't want anything crawly to deal with.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather a ghost. I feel
Why?
Like I've been hearing things at night sometimes. So maybe a ghost. I'd like just as soon it be that. As a person who doesn't believe in ghosts, I'd rather it be a ghost. Because then at least I can be like, ah, it's the ghost.
It's the ghost.
Ah, shucks. So yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Evil Dead has not prepared me for what has to happen next, but we'll find out. How about you, Megan?
You know, I always think of these questions as, like, what could I survive?
Yeah.
I've never had a paranormal experience, although ghosts tend to freak me out, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Like, things that I may not necessarily believe in, but they still scare me. Maybe because you can't fight them. So, I don't know. Alien encounter movies have taught me I don't want to deal with that. That's
yeah.
Never good. Ghosts feels like this is going to be the worst possible comparison, but it's Monday and we are recording at the start of a solar eclipse, so mm-hmm. I'm going there. I feel like having a ghost problem is almost like an STD you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no matter what you do, like the ring, you can't get rid of it. You think you've solved this curse and you don't. So I don't know. I feel like exists and Willow Creek taught me that the ideal way to deal with a cryptid is just not go camping.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, Xena, we're glampers. We like the AC and cozy hotel rooms. So that's, give me a cryptid problem because I'm never going to deal with it. That's kind of my solution, I think.
I'm born and raised in Minnesota. We are surrounded by lakes and forests and camping and hunting and fishing and all that stuff. Right. Give me a hotel room.
Yeah.
I don't want to camp. I've never felt comfortable sleeping in a tent outside.
Oh, no. And you know.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it wasn't like for the sake of predatory animals or cryptids, I don't want to sleep with the bugs.
Exactly. Sleeping in it.
I don't want to wake up and an ant is all over my face. Well, the ant could be the least of it. Spiders, whatever. Yeah. I just, no bugs, no cryptids. No bears. I'm just gonna watch cable and order room service. Thank you. And that's how I survive. So there you go.
I have a friend who years ago, him and his family went camping up north. And at one point during the night, a bear like literally pushed its nose into the side of his like tent. It was like sniffing around like, oh, yeah, I'm never going to camp after hearing that. And I wasn't involved.
Pretty much. But if for some reason I had a brain lapse or somebody had a good, I don't know, blackmail on me or something and then forced me to go camping, exists and stuff has taught me, you know, pack, be prepared, make sure you have your portable chargers, make sure you have gas, make sure you have escape routes before you go out into BFE, and like maybe stay on campgrounds. Don't go venturing into the deep woods, you lunatics.
You know, we got to experience the real forest by going beyond the lines.
No, we don't. We leave them be. That's the biggest rule. Let things be. Don't disturb whatever.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm worried about being at a campground and having someone just wander to my campfire. Which has happened before.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
I don't care for this at all.
So camping is just bad.
It's bad. Yeah. Hey, if you love camping, good on you. You will never have to worry about us taking your space.
Right. And they're also probably prepared. We are not prepared.
Braver than us. It's fine. How about you, Xena?
Well, I have had something creepy happen before, which I think I told you guys before. When I was in high school with my best friend, I was just watching a witch board and I was very curious.
Oh, yeah.
I was very curious, but I was just like, you know what? Just, you know, keep on going and stuff like that. And right outside her room door, we heard something creak, like someone pushed like this cupboard that was like right outside her door, and it's a very heavy door. So that happened. And what I learned from around the time witch board, leave. And that's what I did. I was a sophomore or a junior and I never went back over her house ever again. Mm. Hopefully she's okay.
Hopefully she's okay. Hopefully she said goodbye. Otherwise she's got a roommate for life.
Yeah. And it's just like, obviously it never ends well. Look at Veronica.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Allison's birthday, like she was warned, she didn't listen. And I would rather not be warned about something. Just let it happen.
Yeah, I don't want some old lady with a milky eye to warn me about something.
What about Ralph? You're all going to die.
Oh,
I'd rather Ralph. I feel like I've met Ralph multiple times at the sorts of bars that I hang out at anyways.
You're all doomed.
Yeah, we are. Another round for Ralph. All right, second question also came in via email from Jade in Kansas. Can you recommend the last horror book you read, and why do you think someone should check it out? Megan, I'm going to start with you.
I do think it's very appropriate that this question comes from Jade in Kansas, because my book is about Jade from Idaho.
Oh.
The last book that I read is The Angel of Indian Lake by Stephen Graham Jones. It is the conclusion to his slasher trilogy. And it is just really, really, really good. I mean, this is a prolific author who loves horror and loves slashers in particular. So his final girl is one who doesn't think she's a final girl, but has an encyclopedic knowledge of slashers.
That's beautiful.
So it's a wild, kind of unpredictable slasher trilogy that this poor young woman has survived like three cycles of slashers by the third novel. So yeah, it's got everything. It's a little, I don't want to say kitchen sink because I don't think it is, but it's got forest fires and bear attacks and multiple killers and supernatural stuff. It's got everything. It's the club you want to be at. It's the hot new club.
How about you, Xena?
The Hacienda I recently read that. I think I was going to talk about it at one point. I had a lot of fun with it. It's like it's Rebecca meets like a Mexican gothic like horror. There's like a gothic house, a plantation, and you know, you really feel for the girl because she's trying to like help her family. Like her father died like a disgraced general, and so now she's her and her mother, and they have to go live with their with her aunt and uncle who clearly don't like them. So then when an opportunity arises to marry this guy who doesn't also have the best reputation, especially because his previous wife died mysteriously. But that means that she'll have like a house. She decides to take it on. But the second that she gets in that house, like the ghosts that are in that house are so aggressive. I love it. So, but yeah, it's a good time.
I mean, I really haven't been reading a lot lately. I've been doing some Audible stuff, but I'm in the middle of Dune. And that does not count. Well, I mean, it's kind of horror, honestly, if we're going to really talk about Dune as a what genre it fits in. But otherwise, it would go back to Man F This House, which is great. It's a fast read. It's not, I don't even think it's 200 pages. It's real fast. Like, it's buy it for a flight or something like that, or a rainy day, and you'll get through it pretty quick. But it's really fun. It's really fast paced. It's just a fun way of playing with the haunted house trope. And yeah, big recommend from me.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of big recommendations, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world and help us discuss the disgusting. You know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre, and head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
Zena can also be found at Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, at Be Disgusting, at Lovely Zena on Twitter, and at Real Queen of Horror on Instagram. Social media person. Lots of plugs. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So Zena, what's been filling your heart this week?
Baghead. Don't you love that title? It's a spicy title. So
the,
this one,
the title got me to watch it too.
Yeah,
just the title.
Nice. Yeah. So basically, this young woman, she inherits this rundown pub, and then she discovers that there's a dark secret within the basement. It's Baghead, a shape-shifting creature that lets one speak to lost loved ones. But you know, there's consequences. So why would you do that? I would never do something like, you just know, right? But yeah, so it is based on a short from the same director. It's 15 minutes. I felt like it kind of felt like a creepy pasta premise. At least it gave me that vibe. Yeah. And so, yeah, I kind of went in blind with this one. I remember just seeing Shudder post about it, and I thought that it looked pretty cool. I also feel like it felt like a 2010s like type of horror. And I mean that in the best way. I had so much fun with this one. I feel like this one is 100% my type of movie, because there's like this gorgeous gothic like aesthetic going on. There's a curse, there's a witch, you know, I love witches. And
you do love witches.
It's just, I don't know. I had so much fun with it. And it's not what I expected. It just makes me so excited for more 2024 horror movies, because I feel like we've been on a roll, guys, just rolling along each month. There's just so many magical things. So I heard some people comparing this one to like Talk to Me, and I can see that. Oh, come on, headphones. I can see that in some ways, you know, minus like the sticky finger teenagers and stuff like that. That's not in here. But yeah, I love the concept. It creeped me out. The music and lighting is really cool. And no spoilers, but I love the way it ended for us. So it just felt like there's still room for a sequel. And honestly, I'd be totally down to like, I'll watch it. So yeah, that's the first thing.
I get that comparison loosely. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, well, that's comparing Friday the 13th to Halloween because it's two slashers. You know, like I get the comparison, but I wouldn't go into this as a massive Talk to Me fan thinking it's going to be Talk to Me. And at the same time, I wouldn't avoid this if you didn't like Talk to Me.
Right.
But like the conceit I get. But the same thing, like the aesthetic is, it's such a beautiful movie, and the creature design and everything else. It's, yeah, this was, and very much feels like a ritual creepypasta. So yeah, more of this.
Please and thank you. Then the next one I checked out, Muted Witness on Shudder as well. Yeah, so I guess I just had like a Shudder week from 1995. So
I watched this too.
Did you love it?
I thought it was pretty fun. I thought it was fun.
I thought she was going to be like, no. I'm like, oh, no. Okay.
No, there's bits where it gets super silly, but yeah, that's part of its charm.
So a mute makeup artist, she's working on a slasher movie that's being shot in Moscow. And when it's locked up after hours, like the studio, she goes back there because she needs something. And while there, she witnesses a brutal murder. And now she must escape, you know? And so, yeah, I've never heard of this movie before it popped up on Shudder. And, you know, maybe this is like so bold to say, I feel like a clown because I feel like I should have watched it like sooner. I had a lot of fun with this one. I can honestly say that I feel like it's very underrated. At least it is for me, because like I said, I've never heard of it before. Even with the poster, like I love the poster design. I had, I went in blind. I didn't really know too much about it. And then even when it comes to like the opening scene, it's a lot of fun. I love the way it's filmed. Within the first 30 minutes, we get like such an awesome chase scene that I find myself going back to watch. I actually watched it twice last week, just for some funsies. Yeah. You know, it was just a lot of fun. Kept me literally at the edge of my seat, you know, holding my breath type of thing. I feel like this movie's honestly perfect. I give it a 5 out of 5.
Dang. Yeah, it is very fun. They have some extremely well shot cat and mouse chases for like the first half of that movie. That's like, oh my God, because she's trying to sneak around the studio, trying not to get caught by the killers. So it's really fun. Yes. It's like, get the key, get the key.
Like just rooting for her, you know? And then the apartment scene when she went back to her apartment, like,
It does get very cuckoo banana pants in the second half. Like this is a very almost different movie. Not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Just it's a ride.
And I thought it was really cool. This isn't a spoiler, but they're filming a horror movie. So the person, this woman gets killed and her death is so ridiculous. Like the way she just keeps on dying and rolling around. That was
her overacting is funny. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I checked out.
Nice.
Nice. How about you, Megan?
I watched The First Omen, which is in theaters now. This one is a prequel to The 76 Omen, and it follows a young American novitiate sent to Rome to begin a life in service to the church, but obviously encounters and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of the Antichrist. This one is one that I didn't really have any expectations for when it was announced. You know, it's like the prequels, I think, have a tough task of you already know where it's going to go, right? Because it can't contradict these things. It might be able to expand it a little bit, but it's like you can't deviate that Damian Thorne's going to be born. So what could you possibly do? So I was very, very, very pleasantly surprised that they treated this movie so well. It's way better than it had any reason to be. Arkasha Stevenson does such a great job directing this movie. It actually feels very cinematic. She's trying to emulate the 70s to match it, and it's gorgeous. It is literally one of the most gorgeous horror movies I've seen in a while. It feels like a legit movie. So technically, like from a formal level, it's really well crafted. But then, you know, Nell Tigerfree, who was in Servant, she's incredible in Servant. If you haven't watched that, she has such a knockout performance. There's a moment that she channels her inner Annabelle Ajani from Possession. And if you know Possession, you probably can think of the moment that she kind of tackles. And it's incredible. The way that they reinterpret the Jackal is incredible. It doesn't completely avoid the pitfalls that comes with being stuck in a prequel. But overall, it's really well done. And I think if you haven't seen The Omen, you can still watch it and still enjoy it. If you have, like, you'll enjoy it. It needs more love because I feel like audiences were probably having my same mindset where they were like, do we need an Omen prequel? Well, you do. Yeah. Surprisingly, you do. So give it a chance.
Nice.
And then to completely switch gears, because I'm a sucker for 80s Hong Kong cinema because it's just kind of a fun blast of everything. And so I watched Mr. Vampire, which was released in 1985. It's currently on the Criterion Channel. And this one is a planned reburial of a town elder. It goes awry as the corpse resurrects into a hopping, bloodthirsty vampire targeting everyone responsible for digging the grave. And it's up to a Taoist priest and his very bumbling sidekick disciples to stop the terror. This is a movie that has everything. It definitely has the hopping vampires, Jianshi. I don't know if you've seen the Gremlins animated series. They have that too. I love hopping vampires. They hop and you stop them with like a prayer that you stick to their heads. So yeah, you've got hopping vampires, you've got martial arts, you've got comedy from the sidekicks that are so inept. Like the opening sequence is one's trying to keep candles lit. So he's got a row of hopping vampires that he's trying to keep frozen, like don't let them loose, right? Aww. And then his buddy, his fellow disciple, decides to play a prank that ends up letting them loose, and then they have to get their master into corral them. And then there's a ghost, there's a seductive ghost in the mix for good measure. So, you know, I was talking earlier about kitchen sink horror movies, and you know, that's what I love about 80s Hong Kong horror, is that they are a little bit kitchen sink, and Mr. Vampire is definitely that. So yeah, more hopping vampires.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before. You might be the first. Not in a bad way.
I can't be the... Well, here, the trend starts here.
There we go. Hashtag more hopping vampires. I don't even know. Do people still use hashtags? I don't know.
I don't know.
I kicked things off last week. I went out and checked out... I'm not sure if this is... It says it's 2023, but I'm going to say it's 2024 because it just hit the theaters, Late Night with the Devil.
If it's IMDb, a lot of times it's when it's made or like first makes its like festival debut.
Oh, that's right. You had said that before with festivals. Yeah.
Yeah.
A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. Not quite accurate, but sort of the idea. To me, this movie, it hits me in the feels specifically for some of the nostalgia that I really loved, like some of that 80s talk show vibe. When you had like Morton Downey Jr., like that weird rise that he had as this television shock jock, and kind of the parallel that they go with David Desmalchin's character who plays the host, trying to stay on top and his own battling his own demons, for lack of a better word. But it was something that kind of caught me, is by the end, as much as it felt very linear as far as the storytelling is concerned, with great acting and set design and cinematography and all that, it still kind of didn't tell you anything. Mm-hmm. It didn't really hold your hand. It suggested things that were going on and had gone on in the past, but they don't actually tell you. And the past, I've always appreciated that. Like, give a little bit of imagination, a little bit of what could have, is there a connection? Because there's certain things that happen during this movie, like where you're like, wait a second, is this, like, are these two or whatever? But you don't get to know. Yeah. And I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, I also think that this movie rests on the shoulders of David Desmalchin, and it thrives because of it. His performance, his ability to go back and forth within his character is amazing. I love the talk show banter. I love the guests that they have lined up, and the skepticism and the realism and the Michael Ironside's narration that happens during it, and all the... It was Michael Ironside, wasn't it, who narrated it?
I've seen it so long ago that I don't remember now.
I think it was Michael Ironside.
Yes, he was.
So. Okay. I was trying to remember, like, because I know there was narration, and then I was like, oh, no, was I thinking of another movie? But I loved it. This is exactly what... I'm not going to say it's exactly what I was hoping it would be, because I don't think I knew what it was going to be, but I left the theater very happy. I'm very glad I saw it in the theater and got a chance to see it, even before it hit Shudder, because now I can't wait to see it on Shudder, too, and... I think if it's still in theaters around you, go check it out. Like, I don't think you necessarily gain more from the theater setting, but support horror in theater when you can.
Right, like, for sure.
Let's get that revenue up for them and show like how big of fans we can really be. That said, it's also coming out this month, isn't it? On Shudder, like in a couple of weeks,
like this week possibly,
or something like that. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it in the theater, you can't make it, it's not a theater near you, it's coming to Shutter soon. Definitely check it out. Yeah, I'm next guessing week, it's going to be a very popular movie on Shutter for a while. Mm-hmm. That's going to be up there. And I also will shift gears into something that's not really horror, but we've kind of talked about it before, and it's finally available streaming. I haven't seen it streaming for quite a while. It's 1998's Dark City on Tubi. A man struggles with memories of his past, which include a wife he cannot remember and a nightmarish world no one else ever seems to wake from. So I don't think that this is like one that nobody knows. Like, people know it. It just got overshadowed by The Matrix.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. The Matrix was very similar in a lot of ways. This is also a very dark neo-noir type movie with unexpected antagonists. But it's also more of a detective noir because you're trying to uncover this mystery while in this science fiction world. Again, calling it horror is a pretty big stretch. It's more just me saying, hey, this is my podcast and I'm going to talk about the movie I want to talk about. And it kind of falls into it and it's good enough for me. There is definitely some horrifying aspects of it. If this world really existed, it's pretty terrifying, really, if you think about it. But I just feel bad that this one didn't get the credit that I think it deserves. Like, there could have been a lot more with these characters. The performances across the board is a really great cast. I honestly don't want to talk about it too much, just because it's kind of a fun reveal, a fun ride to just kind of go through it yourself. Kind of like watching The Matrix for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the hell is going on? So I think that's all I'm going to say about it. It's on Tubi right now. I think maybe just for this month. Go check it out. It's Dark City.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, I'm surprised that it's streaming, because normally it's these headphones. Normally it's not. So if you haven't seen it, I think that you should check it out before it's not streaming.
Yeah, I've been looking for it for a while, and it popped up this month on Tubi. So yeah, take advantage while you can. It's kind of like when Near Dark pops up. Go watch mm-hmm. it, because it's going to disappear for who knows how long. All right, before I move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
So I checked out Baghead on Shudder and Mute Witness. I don't know why I said Muted Witness. It's Mute Witness on Shudder.
I watched The First Omen in theaters and Mr. Vampire on Criterion Channel.
And I watched Late Night with the Devil in the theater and Dark City on Tubi. All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Well, the week kicked off with a pretty big trailer drop.
Yeah, it did.
Writer-director Ty West completes his X trilogy with Maxine, a sequel to both X and Pearl that will bring Mia Goth's title character into 1980s Hollywood. And A24 did drop the trailer, which is everywhere online, pretty much. It's given us a first look at the 80s set horror movie. It's coming to theaters this summer, theaters nationwide on July 5th. And it's got a pretty nice cast, aside from Mia Goth. It also has Halsey, Elizabeth Debicki, Moses Sumney, Michelle Moynihan, Bobby Cannavale, Lily Collins, Giancarlo Esposito, and Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
Plot. The official synopsis is, in 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Minx finally gets her big break, but as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Hollywood, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past. Mm. He previously, you know, I won't obviously get into the trailer, except it looks a little bit more enmeshed with real life events than I expected. Mm-hmm. But Ty West previously teased of his trilogy's third installment. What I can tell you is that we're going to catch up with Maxine and we're going to find out what she's up to. The way that X is a movie that is informed by and affected by independent exploitation auteur Americana and 1970s cinema, and Pearl is perhaps affected by the golden age of Hollywood and the glitz and glamour of cinema, Maxine will be more about within the industry itself and the boom of VHS. So yeah.
Yeah, this one, it felt, watching the trailer, without diving into the trailer for those who avoid that stuff, it felt kind of in the vein of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where there is some real world inserted that affects the plot, but it's not necessarily about that. It's just kind of around that. And it's, I am really excited. I think I was looking forward to this, but watching the trailer, I'm really glad I saw it. Now I really want to see it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Are you team Maxine?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I am. I've been avoiding the trailer and I'm trying to not be tempted and
Totally fair. Okay.
Trying to avoid it. For no one else than for you, Zena.
Yeah.
It's hard.
This one has no trailer. I'm sure we won't see one for months yet. But from Searchlight Pictures, the Amy Adams horror movie Night Bitch. I just want to say that, right? Finally has a release date, with Searchlight announcing that it's coming to theaters December 6th. 2024. So very interesting. It gets an award season slot, basically. Night Bitch. How many times can I fit that into this episode?
That should be the title of our episode.
I don't know how they're going to market this book. Yeah. It's rated R for language and some sexuality. The darkly comic horror film was directed by Marielle Heller, who previously did A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So she's going from Mr. Rogers to Night Bitch. I love that. with dramatic pause. Night Bitch. Scoot McNairy and Mary Holland also star. Night Bitch tells the story of a woman thrown into the stay-at-home routine of raising a toddler in the suburbs who slowly embraces the feral power deeply rooted in motherhood. As she becomes increasingly aware of the bizarre and undeniable signs that she may be turning into a canine. It's based on Rachel Yoder's novel. And Yoder also penned the screenplay. What is the name? There's another movie that has a very, very similar plot. Like, I don't know how, I haven't read the book. I don't know. I'm assuming they'll play out very differently. But there's also another one where it's a housewife thinks she's a dog or she turns into a dog. I can't remember the name of it. I'll think of that. But it doesn't have a name like Night Bitch. So there you go. And then we're back into trailer territory. Tickets are now on sale for Universal Pictures' Abigail, poised to unleash a gory good time at the theater. And the second trailer debuted last week ahead of the upcoming theatrical release, which will be April 19th, so literally next week. And Abigail was rated R for strong bloody violence and gore throughout, pervasive language, and brief drug use. The film's plot follows a group of would-be criminals who are tasked with kidnapping a 12-year-old ballerina they don't know she's a vampire. She's a 12-year-old ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure. All they have to do is collect 50 million ransom, they just have to watch her overnight to collect that 50 million ransom. And they start to dwindle one by one and realize that they might be locked in with no normal little girl. Yeah. So this is from Radio Silence, the directing team of Matt Bettinelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillette, plus producer Chad Vieja. They are behind 2022 Scream, last year Scream 6, also Ready or Not. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it stars Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, William Catlett, Kevin Durand, Angus Cloud, Alicia Weir, and Giancarlo Esposito. I don't know if you watched the second... I know, he's busy in horror this week. but yeah, I don't know if you watched the second trailer, if you even need to. I did... have my set visit because I did get to go to the set last year for this. And so you need more details on what to expect, then they're also available at Bloody Disgusting. All I will say is that based on everything we see, the trailers, the set visit, there's a bloodbath featurette that dropped last week. It's all looking like it's going to unleash the most maximum level of blood possible, which means I need it in my eye hole stat.
Can't wait.
I think I saw the second trailer, but I think, did it play before Immaculate or anything? Or did it just drop?
It's possible it played. I mean, it debuted online last week, but I can't speak to theaters.
Okay. Yeah. I think my wife hadn't even heard of it until we saw a trailer. We might have just seen the first trailer and she was... I have a lot of horror movies to see this year, it turns out. I think this is going to be I have already seen... It's like five or six movies in the theater in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, John.
Which it's I don't think lot. I've seen that many movies in a theater in a year previously.
Yeah, you're going to have a record because this is April. We're only in April. Like the first quarter is usually the slow start to horror. And it's just going to keep ramping up, especially come October. So, yeah, I hope you have like a... season pass to your local theater.
I should definitely look into it. I know it's part of like my unofficial New Year's resolution. I want to support horror more in the theater too.
Yeah, that's a nice
just
one.
Because I think I've been feeling the idea of a cult movie. Mm-hmm. I like less and less.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea because it means it found its audience too late.
Do you think though, like, I think we're in the age where there's cult film and what's just what between the cracks, because there's so yeah. much coming out, not just mm-hmm. theatrically, but on streaming service debuts, VOD debuts, like all of these yeah. little indie, there's a lot. It's insane how much there is that I wonder, like there's movies that, you know, social media gushed about 3 years ago mm-hmm. and 5 years ago and even 10 years ago that never really come up anymore just because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the amount of content and the barrier to entry has changed so drastically.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I think if nothing else, it's at least for my own peace of mind. Like if I'm going to call myself a proponent of horror and creators, that I yeah. should actually walk the walk instead of just doing streaming and doing what's easy. Like take a little effort, go to the theater.
Yeah.
Have some popcorn.
Treat yourself.
Watch the movie. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're taking the podcast advice. I love it.
Mm-hmm. It only took me 3 years.
It only took, yeah, well, you know, better late than never.
That's what they tell me. All right, listeners, your turn. Maxine versus Mia Goth. Who wins? I think Mia Goth, having seen her in Infinity Pool. I'm a little more scared of her than Maxine.
Yeah, right.
And, shoot, I was going to say something. What was it? Oh, yeah. Night Bitch. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So, on Thursday, the 11th, we have All You Need Is Death. You thought you needed love, but no. So, this one is about... The poster for this one is really cool, too, by the way. A young couple who collects rare folk ballads discover the dark side of love when they secretly record and translate an ancient taboo folk song from the deep forgotten past. Then on the 12th, you can check out a new episode of The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs on Shudder. Sting will also be in theaters as well. If you are someone who do not like spiders, I still think that you should watch this one. A 12-year-old girl named Charlotte, she must face the fact that her pet spider, you
of
know,
of course Charlotte has a pet spider.
Girl,
it's Charlotte's
no.
web.
Charlotte is terrible. She's terrible. But anyway, so yeah, I like that they did name her Charlotte. You know, it was very fitting. But yeah, now her once charming creature rapidly transformed into a giant flesh-eating monster. And then Arcadian, it will be in theaters. A father and his twin sons fight to survive in a remote farmhouse at the end of the world. And then on the 16th, on Tuesday, we have Mr. Sleep. This was out a couple of weeks ago on VOD, so now you'll be able to own it on DVD. A deranged killer named Mr. Sleep takes retribution on a group of insomnia patients who he believes stole his memories. And then just in case if you missed it, The First Omen is in theaters, and Festival of the Living Dead is available on Tubi. These headphones.
Yes, it's been Xena's headphones this whole time. I apologize.
They don't want to just stay in my ear. They're like, no, we hate it here. Why? It's fun in there. Just stay in there.
It's fun in there.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly Horror Nation podcast, Creepy, while we spend all of April at Creepaway Camp. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So, for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Or the theater. Doesn't have to be the couch. Go to the theater.
There you go.